Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez. And on the line, we have Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management.
Good morning, Joe. The U.S. economy is facing potential headwinds due to geopolitical risk with North Korea, leadership issues with the Trump administration, uncertainty at the Fed, economic devastation with Harvey and Irma. Yet, despite all these uncertainties, U.S. stocks closed last night at a record and the rally was broad-based. What is your view on this?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. Hurricane Irma wasn't that devastating. Certainly, loss of life is, you know, it's incalculable. But, we're, you know, it missed a lot of big spots. And, you know, there's not a lot of economic activity like ports and energy like Houston and Florida. So, the markets were a little sigh of relief there. When it comes to politics, I mean, the markets applaud or looking favorably on the fact that Donald Trump, a Republican, reached across the aisle and did a deal with the Democrats. Doesn't do much for the Republicans, but nevertheless, you know, we've got some things done. We've got to kick the can down the road, but that's nothing new for Washington. And then, you know, there's still good earnings, good economic data. The hurricanes will take some growth away in the third quarter, but we'll make it up in Q4 in the first quarter of next year. So markets are looking through that. It's going to be more of a positive, unfortunately, given the devastation, than a negative for overall net growth for the U.S. economy in the out quarters.
So given that it's a net positive, where do you see the opportunities in the next two quarters?
Well, we see like opportunities in construction, infrastructure building, water, waste treatment. We like those kind of the infrastructure plays. The biggest issue there will be finding the workers for all the jobs that we're going to need to rebuild Houston and many parts of Florida. But it's going to be a kind of the industrial side. Commodities are going to do well. China reported decent numbers overall. So if this is a good commodity play, infrastructure play, capital goods, base metals, this is where you want to be putting some money to work now.
Speaking of putting your money to work, what is your view on the tech sector in particular? Have earnings been already been priced in, or does this sector have a little bit more legs to go?
I think there's more legs to go in the tech sector. You're looking at good core competencies. We just wrote a report showing that for the first time ever, there's 50% of the world is now online. So we've reached kind of across the threshold. There's a lot of upside growth to the global digital economy. And a lot of U.S. companies, big tech names, are the leaders. So we see some upside. I know the valuations are stretched a little bit here, but we see a lot of good potential there in this sector.
Now, moving on to the U.K., the Bank of England's September policy meeting is this Thursday. What are your expectations in terms of interest rates and the BOE's asset repurchasing program?
Well, because the U.K. is one of the weakest economies in the Eurozone right now, or the European Union, I think that, you know, the Bank of England is going to have to go slow. I don't think they can be as hawkish as, say, some other central banks have been, like Bank of Canada, for instance. But I think they're going to move slowly because I do think the effects of Brexit, the loss of capital investment, the weaker pound has helped some big exporters. But in general, you know, the UK economy is quickly emerged as one of the weakest in the Eurozone, European Union. So I think the Bank of England is going to move very slowly and be more dovish than hawkish.
And given the uncertainties, which sectors do you think perhaps present some buying opportunities in the UK?
In the UK, I mean, my opinion is, you know, real estate prices have fallen dramatically in some cases, commercial, residential. London will always be very important to the global economy, global financial sector. And I know there's companies moving out and so forth. So I would be like bottom fishing for real estate here in the next year or so. But I think the kind of the big play is going to be more kind of the domestic, the small mid-cap stocks. Some of the large-cap companies have done well with a stronger, weaker pound. I think that's a crowded trade right now. But in general, if you're putting money in Europe, don't go to the UK. I mean, you go buy some Swiss pharmaceutical firms. We like the German industrial companies. I like some French companies, consumer goods, the Italian banks, even Greece. Greece is showing remarkable resiliency and growth here in 2017. So I'll be putting more money on the periphery as opposed to the core.
Now, moving on from Europe and the UK to Japan, which will sell $12 billion worth of shares in Japan Post Holdings. Now, it's going to be the country's biggest public offering this century. What are your thoughts on the reasons behind the sale and what are its potential impact?
Well, I haven't looked specifically at this sale and this stock and kind of the backdrop, but you know, Japan, we remain overweight, Japan. I mean, it's steady as you go, 4% growth annualized, 2% coming from consumers. They're kind of the sleeper. What I do like about Japan, not necessarily the postal, service company or the banks there or anything related, is robotics. Robotics. Japan is leading the way. So you want to invest in these small startups, mid-cap to large caps as well, because no one is pushing on the frontier of robotics. Whether it's manufacturing or now services, so healthcare, child care, in nurseries. Japan is way ahead of the world, and Japan's in front, right? We think of Japan as a laggard, the leader when it comes to robotics, and their engagement, their embeddedness into the economy, because we're all demographically looking at some challenges, worker shortages. So I think Japan is leading the way there. So put some money into Japanese robotics. They're going to do well.
Hey, thanks for your insights, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist, U.S. Trust Bank of America, Private Wealth Management.
We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.